Hi, guys. This is Chelsea Green from WWE's Tough Enough, and you are listening to the Gerwick Report podcast.
It is Wednesday, September the 2nd, 2015. I am Steve Gerwick of www.gerwek.net. Gerwick.net is your source for all your pro wrestling news since 1997. Welcome to a special edition of the Gerwick Report podcast, where today we welcome a very special guest. She trained with Lance Storm. She just competed in Tough Enough, and today she's our very special guest, the very beautiful Chelsea Green. How are you doing today, Chelsea?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, my pleasure. And I think I'm not alone in saying that I was disappointed that you didn't win the competition. I thought for sure, based on your training with Lance Storm and your background in wrestling, you for sure would win. And I guess the first question maybe would be, do you feel like in hindsight, maybe you were just overqualified because you had such a background in wrestling? You obviously trained with one of the best trainers out there today in Lance Storm. Maybe you feel like, you know, in hindsight, maybe you're just a little overqualified for that show.
Yeah, you know what? Obviously, going into it, I was the only female wrestler in the cast. But I don't know. You never know what WWE is looking for. So, yes, you know, maybe I knew a lot more about wrestling than the rest of the girls. But, I mean, who knows what they were looking for? Maybe they were looking for a bikini model. Maybe they were looking for the girl next door, you know, in Sara Lee. And I'll tell you what, I'm definitely not either of those. I bring my own kind of flair to the table when it comes to the wrestling side of things. So it's hard to say, you know, was I overqualified or what? Why was I really eliminated? But I think in the end of the day, everyone had their own little niche. And WWE was just trying to figure out where that niche fit into their roster.
You know, it's interesting, too, because a lot of times we see from WWE's perspective, they go after fitness models. In fact, that's really how Trish Stratus got into the WWE. She was a fashion model. I believe Alicia Fox was a fashion model and made the transition into wrestling. I just thought with, obviously, you're training with Lance Storm. And, I mean, you say you're not a bikini model or whatever, but I've seen some of your pictures. You certainly, if you wanted to go in that realm, you definitely could do it. I mean, you definitely have the figure for that. I just thought, when they put you on the show, because not that many people that I was familiar with when I saw the cast. I was seeing everybody send their Tough Enough videos and saying, hey, I want to be on Tough Enough. And when I heard that you were going to be on the show, not that I knew, you know, a lot of you, but I knew that you had trained with Lance Storm, I thought, now, here's a person that could really be a main player on the show. She has the background. She has the training. And I really thought, sitting here today and talking to you, I really thought you would win this competition.
Yeah, you know what? I honestly went in there thinking the exact same thing. I made sure, I knew I was going in there. It was going to be stiff competition. I knew, you know, I had been to the tryout. I knew that those girls were tough, for sure. But I also knew that I was the only wrestler. So I did go in very, very confident that I would make it till the end. You know, who's to say that I should have won or shouldn't have won, but I definitely thought I was going to make it further than I did.
Yeah, definitely for sure. I don't know. You know, a lot of people have been critical of the show to say, you know, why would WWE be looking for, you know, just athletes or guys that look good or women that look good? And, you know, this is a sport where, you know, it's sports entertainment, yes, but it's also, you know, at the end of the day, what you guys do in the ring is wrestle. So
yeah.
Do you feel like maybe, I don't know, because there's so many people out there, independent workers that are training hard, you know, dieting, staying in shape, you know, taking the bumps in the ring, taking their Motrin and putting the Band-Aids on their arms. And, you know, they're working so hard to become a wrestler. And at the end of the day, you know, you do a show like Tough Enough where there's a lot of guys and girls on the show that weren't really professional wrestlers.
Yeah, I guess at the end of the day, though, it is WWE's decision. And a lot of great wrestlers have come from people who never stepped in the ring until they got to, you know, NXT or until they got to their tryout. For example, Trish Stratus, right? She is one of the best examples for a female who had nothing to do with wrestling, who came from a, you know, bikini modeling background, and then absolutely killed it. And, you know, she's one of the best wrestlers of all time, really. And so I think that the thing is people are getting so caught up in the wrestling side of things that they're forgetting that this is sports entertainment. And at the end of the day, they want someone in the ring who is going to fill seats in the audience. And, you know, someone like Amanda or someone like Gigi, with their personality and their body and their looks, they're going to do that. And you know, wrestling, it can be taught. Not the easiest, and some people, you know, won't pick it up. But if you're athletic and you've got that drive, you can be taught how to wrestle.
It's true. Now, you alluded to this before when you were just answering the first question there about, you know, why were you eliminated? You didn't make it to the end. That really shocked me. You didn't at least make it to the finals. But, you know, now that you've had some time to, you know, be home and reflect on things, why do you think ultimately you were passed up?
You know what? I've thought about it. I constantly think about it. But I really still don't have an answer for that, because I don't know necessarily if the WWE universe knows. I mean, they're all, you know, hands are in the air because the only female wrestler was voted off, but at the end of the day, the WWE universe didn't vote for me to stay. So it's a little confusing having these mixed emotions from the fans saying they want me there, but they're not the ones voting for me. You know, the Tough Enough gave WWE that opportunity to vote for us and to keep their favorites in the game. And they did. So, you know, I just wasn't a favorite. And to be fair, how could I have been when I came in 4 weeks late? It's extremely hard to make up for lost time when you come into a competition where the rest of the cast is totally known and nobody has a clue who I am.
A lot of people were critical of that format, as well as letting the universe, you know, decide who's in and who's out. And, you know, maybe in hindsight, it would be a better show if they just let the coaches decide who's in and who's out.
Well, yeah, you would, you know, like, people are angry about that. But then again, they would be blaming the decisions on the judges then. There's no one to blame if you say, okay, look, WWE Universe, you know, we want you to tell us who the next superstar and diva is. And they complain about that, but then, you know, if it was the other way around and they didn't have any say, there would be complaining about having no say as well. They don't really know if you can win. You know, like, at least I thought it was good mixing the judges putting the bottom three in and then the WWE Universe deciding. I liked that mix because you got a bit of both. However, I just think that maybe people needed to sit down and think about who they were voting for just a little bit harder, you know?
True. Now, I'm not a big fan of reality shows, only because typically there's not a lot of reality to the show. obviously, they took a camera and they followed you guys all over the place. And I just wondered, did they ever really encourage certain behavior, certain relationships? Say, why don't you mingle with this person? Why don't you mingle with that one? Or is it, Here's the camera, just do what you do naturally?
Yeah, you know what? It really was just, we're all stuck in a house, so things are going to happen. There are going to be bonds formed, there are going to be relationships formed, and then there's going to be drama, you know, because just like with your family, when you're stuck in your house with your family, something is going to go down. So it was, I don't think they even needed to say anything like that, because every single day, you know, there's going to be a new challenge or more training, and something's going to come up, or someone's going to wake up on the wrong side of the bed.
I just wonder, too, you know, obviously they filmed you guys for hours and hours. Was there anything they filmed that ultimately didn't make the cut of the show? You say, wow, I'm surprised they didn't put that on the show.
You know what? Every time that we sat down and watched Tough Enough at the live event, I always thought that. There was no real moment where anything happened that I was like, oh my God, how could they not have shown that? So there was quite a few things that I was like, oh, well, that's kind of funny, the way that came off or something like that. But at the end of the day, we only had about 25 minutes of reality to show. So it's hard to fit a week's worth of reality into 25 minutes.
Now, of the trainers they had there, obviously Booker T, Lita, etc., was there any trainer in particular, Billy Gunn, for example, maybe, that reminded you a little bit of Lance Storm's style of training?
I think that all three of them reminded me of him in the sense that they were very cutthroat. They wanted to weed out the weak, and I love that. When I was with Lance, you know, he made sure that the first couple of weeks he was hard on everyone, and if the tough couldn't survive, then they needed to leave. And it was like that in Tough Enough. I saw a little bit of Lance in Lita in the way she's, you can tell she kind of processes things. She doesn't necessarily say it out loud, but she's thinking it and she's always watching. And then with Booker and Billy, they just say it. And when they say it, it's like, you know, they're screaming it at you kind of thing, which I think is hilarious. And kind of like Lance Storm too. When he snaps, he snaps.
I wonder if you had spoken to Lance since the elimination, and what did he say? Kind of, and, you know, as he watched the show.
Yeah, we speak all the time. We spoke throughout Tough Enough as well. Just he kind of just, you know, puts things into perspective for me and reminds me that, okay, so maybe this wasn't your opportunity to make the WWE. That doesn't mean that you're never going to be a diva. You know, you have to be told no 1,000 times before one person says yes and you're in. And he told me that from the start. So he's just kind of been that, you know, the angel and the devil on my shoulder, just kind of helping me through this entire crazy, stressful process.
WWE classifies their women's division as divas. There's knockouts in TNA. I don't know. You are actually a worker, a wrestler. Some girls kind of take offense to be calling a diva, but I guess ultimately if you're going to be in the WWE, you're going to be called a diva. Do you kind of take exception to be calling a diva? Because obviously you want to be recognized for what you can do in the ring, but that seems to be the classification anymore, is that, you know, to make it in this business, you have to be a diva.
Yeah, you know, I get that all the time. People are getting so angry that they changed the title to the diva's title instead of the women's and all that. You know what? I don't care. As long as I'm in the WWE, I don't care what they classify me as. If they want to call me the women's champion, you know, the divas champion, as long as I'm in there and I'm on the roster, I'm not going to complain. So it doesn't bother me too much. And this day and age, we're in sports entertainment. You got to look the part, you got to act the part. And if that's acting like a diva and looking like a diva, hey, I'm all for it. I'll do it.
Now, since you've left the show, I understand that you are going back to Lance Storm School to train again.
Yeah, you know, I've always got to polish everything up. And now that I'm in Calgary, why not get back in the ring and learn some new moves, you know?
Right. In your original class with Lance Storm, were there other wrestlers that have gone on to be independent wrestlers out there?
Yeah, there's actually quite a few of them, and a lot of them I stay in touch with. But at Lance's, there's people that come from all over the world. So, of course, I don't keep in touch as much with the Americans or the Europeans and stuff like that. But, yeah, there's a lot of people that have done really well for themselves.
Australians. Emma came from Lance Storm School.
Yeah, and Cassie. She just
played right.
Peyton Royce on NXT.
Yep.
Yeah.
Casey Cassidy, got a developmental deal and adopted a new gimmick there in NXT. So
yeah.
Congratulations. So Lance Storm School is, you know, got more on their credentials to say, you know, we do get people to WWE. So.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. He's got Tyler Breeze and Sylvester on the NXT roster.
Right.
You know, like, I really think that that's the place to go. If you want to learn how to wrestle, I wouldn't be wasting my time, you know, half-ass training. I'd be going somewhere like Lance's or Booker's school and putting the time and the work in.
You know, honestly, I'd like to see them go back. They used to have a system where they had like OVW and they had California and they had Florida and they could move the developmental talent around. I'd like to see them work out a relationship with Booker and Lance Storm to say, hey, you know, we got this kid. Why don't you train him? And then when he's done, maybe he goes to Lance, or maybe he starts with Lance and then he goes down to Booker's school. And then ultimately, you know, someday we bring him to the Performance Center and he's an NXT superstar.
Yeah, totally. I guess nowadays it's kind of like, you know, if you're going to be an independent wrestler, then you need to go out and put in the time by yourself before you show up to a WWE tryout. You know, nowadays, if you're a wrestler, they want you to be ready to be on the roster kind of thing. So you have to show them that you put in that time. That's why I wanted to go and get it done, get that training done, you know, so they had no excuse not to hire me.
Exactly. Now, you're very positive. You have a lot of energy. I just wonder, now that the show's over, what do you take away from the show? What was the number one thing you learned from the Tough Enough experience?
I think the number one thing I learned really is how mentally strong I am. All of those challenges were physically grueling, but at the end of the day, it's the mental strength that gets you through that, and it gets you through a situation where you're put into a house with, you know, 8 or 9 or 10 strangers, and you have to deal with a competition and then go back to the house and not be able to rest and constantly be living that competition. So I think I'll take that with me, that mental strength. I'll take that with me and use it to my advantage now, because honestly, at this point, there's nothing that I can't do. After I've got through, you know, 4 weeks in the Tough Enough barracks with people screaming at me and working on an injured ankle, I honestly feel like there's nothing I can't do.
That's a great attitude to have as well. Mm-hmm. Now, when you were added to the roster, obviously you weren't on the original cast. When you were added to the roster, did you go back and maybe watch a lot of the other old Tough Enough series to see, you know, what they had done previously? Or were you kind of a big fan of the show, you know, before you got on the show?
Yeah, I had already watched it. I had watched Tough Enough long before I even knew that a new season of Tough Enough was coming out. So I knew how it worked. And then again, I had heard that it was going to be a completely different format. So I didn't study, like, I watched all the shows, all the episodes, but I didn't study it and drive myself nuts, because at the end of the day, I know that whatever they're going to do to us, you can never be prepared for. All you can do is train your butt off until you get there, and then you cannot prepare anymore. So that's kind of what I did going into it. I just made sure that physically I was at my peak, and from there, I just kind of prayed.
That's the best medicine, just pray.
Yeah.
Now, looking back, what was your favorite previous season of Tough Enough?
Ooh, I definitely liked the one where Cameron got booted out. I thought that was good. It was juicy right off the get-go, and I enjoyed watching all the training. I enjoyed Steve Austin, and but I like every season of those shows, because I was always watching it as a super fan and wanting so badly to be in that position.
No, some people have said they got rid of the Divas competition. They used to have a Diva Search competition as well. They've kind of, you know, phased that out. Some people have kind of wondered, maybe it's Tough Enough kind of run its course. Do you see them maybe doing another season of that show?
Yeah, I can definitely see them doing another season. And I think that with each season, you know, maybe now it'll get better and better, because they've kind of put a new format to it. Now they need to perfect it and get the WWE Universe behind them. So I think that this was just the beginning, and it's going to get better.
Now, I heard you say in an interview that you were a big fan of Trish Stratus.
Mm-hmm.
When you first got into watching wrestling, and you would, you know, sneak away from your parents to watch wrestling. Obviously, Trish, you know, Trish was one of the bigger stars. Now, today's wrestling is a lot different than when it was with Trish Stratus. I mean, obviously, they did a little more the risque stuff, the Attitude Era. And in your opinion, obviously, you watch the WWE product today. Do you sense the difference between the products, and do you think maybe today's product is as strong as it was when Trish was around?
Yeah, I think that now the women's wrestling and the division, it is completely different than it used to be in the Attitude Era, you know. But right now, we're at this amazing time with the Divas Revolution happening, where we're getting these just genetic freaks and super athletes out in the ring, and it's amazing. We're building this women's division that really is untouchable. There are no other athletes like these girls in the world. You know, the things that they can do, the moves they can do, everything about it is just amazing. And at this point, I don't know how we could get any better, you know? They have trained and worked so hard, and the Divas coming up from NXT are a whole nother level. So right now, I really think it doesn't get any better than that.
Could you have seen yourself fitting in maybe in the Attitude Era? You know, when Trish was there, they were doing, you know, bra and panty matches. They were having the girls bark like dog. Could you have seen yourself maybe fit into that type of product back in the day?
Oh, totally. I love that stuff. It's so hilarious. going back and watching all those bikini competitions and the, you know, evening gown matches and stuff. I love that. It is so corny, and I just love it. I could totally fit in with them.
Are you a big critic of your own matches? Do you go back and watch them and kind of critique of, you know, what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong?
I try not to, actually. When I go out, before I go out, I like to ask a couple of the guys in the locker room to watch my match so that when I come back, they can kind of critique me. A couple of, you know, the guys who have trained me and things like that. I do, on occasion, watch my matches, but I don't like to because I just feel like I've already been critiqued. I know what I have to do next time. If I keep watching, I kind of drive myself a little nuts because I am a perfectionist. So I try to just take things that other people say and use it and keep going. I know that a lot of people do kind of watch themselves wrestle or listen to their own interviews and things like that. I just can't do it because what I do at the time, it's just what I do. And if that makes me unique, then I don't want to look at it and think, ooh, I look stupid doing that. Why do I do that? Maybe that's just, you know, something that's unique to me.
At this point in your career, what do you consider your biggest strength and what do you think is your biggest weakness?
I think right now my biggest strength is my athletic ability. The fact that I can pick things up really quickly. So I like to kind of watch old matches and pick apart really cool new moves that people do and try them. And I can usually pull them off pretty well. But the thing that I need to work on is definitely just building a character for myself. I'm so new, and I'm still trying to figure out who I really am in the ring. Who is, you know, the heel Chelsea, and who is the babyface Chelsea? And I'm working on it. I've kind of developed a little bit of a better heel character, but it's very hard to figure out a way to get people to cheer you as a babyface, and not just because you're doing these, you know, big flips or crazy moves. So I'm just really working on, you know, the character side of myself.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, that was one of the questions I was going to pose to you. Obviously, you've worked, you know, both ways, babyface and heel. Which one do you kind of prefer at this point?
Well, when I first started training, I was doing a lot of babyface matches. So I preferred babyface. And then when I started out in the independent scene, I was only a heel. And so now I'm totally split down the middle, 50-50. I love being able to show off and be the baby face and you know, do really sweet moves and have people cheer for me. And then I also love turning into, you know, a super bitch and being the total opposite of what I am and making a larger-than-life character, you know. So I really have no preference. I love them both. I think that's good because people really tend to choose which one they love and which one they hate, and they stay away from the one that they hate, and we can't do that. You know, we all have to work each other, and we all have to change it up. So at some point, you're going to have to be that heel or that baby face.
That's a good answer, because what if they call you up one day and say, hey, we need a baby face to work this match, or we need a heel to work this match. Can you do it? And say, of course. I have that range of character where I can work on both sides and comfortably.
Exactly.
And then obviously, I like your heel character. You know, you brag about your looks, and I think it's like so natural. I mean, you are obviously a very attractive woman, so yeah, of course you want to talk about how good you look, right?
Yeah, it's so much fun. I love it. I just take inspiration from ridiculous movies like Mean Girls.
Your passion is professional wrestling, but I'm sure that doesn't consume who you are and what you do. What are some of your other passions outside of the wrestling business?
Well, I've really tried to get into doing stunt work lately to try and be a stunt double. So fingers crossed, I hopefully have my first stunt gig this month. So I'm hoping that that'll be kind of something new to try. But I think I just really, what consumes my life is just fitness, working out, you know, staying healthy, making sure that I look as good as I can so that when the WWE calls, I'm ready.
Yeah, I was going to say, what is your training schedule like? How often do you hit the gym? And what kind of diet are you on right now?
Well, it always changes. Now that I'm back, you know, in Calgary, that in my routine will definitely change because I will be training with Lance 5 days a week. But I'm at the gym 5 to 6 days a week always. And then, you know, I only eat clean. I've got my one cheat meal a week, but I eat very, very clean. And it's just the way I've always been. I've been that way since I was younger. I've never really been a fast food type of person. You know, I indulge, but I don't go crazy. And now with wrestling all the time and being in small, tiny little diva-like outfits, I don't exactly want to eat anything but healthy food.
Okay, I put you on the spot. What is your favorite cheat meal, or what's your biggest weakness when it comes to food?
Oh, well, my biggest weakness of all time, and everybody who really knows me knows this, is buttery popcorn. Like, it has to be dripping with butter, and it has to be movie theater popcorn. And I drive to the movie theater, walk in, and get myself a large popcorn with extra butter, and walk out, and I won't even see a movie.
I'm with you on that.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
Nothing beats the theater popcorn. You can buy the theater popcorn bags and take them home. They're never the same.
No, they are never the same.
No. How did the Meghan Miller character come about, and how did that kind of surprise you all of a sudden here? They're asking you to do a TV role like that?
Yeah, it really did. It caught me by surprise. I showed up to be a rosebud for Adam Rose for two shows. And at the end of the second show, I knew I had two more days of extra work. I assumed I was just going to be a rosebud still. At the end of the second day, I had someone come up to me and say, you know, we have a little role for you. Do you want to do it? You'll basically just be taking a picture with Daniel Bryan. Like, you don't have to worry about it. I was like, oh, okay, sure. That's pretty sweet, taking a picture with Daniel Bryan. I had no idea about Meghan Miller or how big that role would be. I showed up that third day to Raw in Portland, Oregon, and all of a sudden, I'm standing in front of Vince, Triple H, and Stephanie with a script in my hand. And it was like the craziest experience ever. I had absolutely no idea I would be getting in the ring and cutting a promo, you know, and standing in front of Stephanie McMahon and Brie Bella. It was amazing.
Do you ever think we'll see Meghan Miller ever again on TV?
I would love that. I would love to debut as Meghan Miller coming back, you know, pissed off at Stephanie McMahon because I had to lie in front of the WWE Universe, and joining forces with Brie Bella.
That would be cool.
That would be really cool.
Talk about your, obviously you are an athlete, you have an athletic background. Talk about some of the sports you played before you got into to wrestling.
I always, in high school, I ran track and field, I played soccer, a little bit of basketball, I played some volleyball, and I've always kind of tried out every sport possible. I love playing sports. So I did a little bit of everything, and then I did a little bit of rugby in university, and I just kind of stumbled upon wrestling and fell in love with it.
So I guess you weren't a cheerleader in high school.
Oh, no.
Too busy with the sports.
I looked like the cheerleader while I played the sport. However, I played the sport.
You know, obviously you're talking about, you know, one day you're going to get that call from WWE, which I think is a great attitude to have. You know, if you don't, at least in the meantime, what are some of the other goals? You know, possibly working overseas. You know, obviously in the States there's Shimmer, which is an all-female group. There's Shine. There's some all-women's groups here in the United States. In short term, what are some of the other goals you have right now?
Yeah, you know, right now I really want to build my own personal brand. I want to make sure that people know my name. So, you know, if at the end of the day wrestling doesn't work out, I still have that brand for myself. I want to be kind of doing online training things, like personal training. And I definitely just, I want to work every single weekend. I want to wrestle. I want to make sure that I'm only improving. And I do hope that I get a call from, you know, Shimmer or Shine. Those are companies that I would absolutely love to work for. So it's just a matter of time. I just have to make sure that they kind of take a look at my matches, see who I am, and see that I'm improving, and want to book me. Fingers crossed.
Now, obviously, you got some bookings coming up in Canada. You know, since the show, are you getting a lot of phone calls from people say, oh, this was the girl on Tough Enough, you know, come work for us? I thought maybe you could at this point maybe branch out a little bit more and more, be more visible here in the United States?
Yeah, that's my main focus right now in terms of wrestling, is to try and leave Canada a little more often. Because I've been kind of stuck on the West Coast. So I've got some matches down in Philadelphia, I believe. No, that might not be right. Or maybe it's in the Carolinas. And I'm just trying to get as many bookings as I can, you know, on the East Coast and in the States. But it is hard because it's expensive to fly someone from Canada. The flights are not cheap.
And are you being identified now? You're walking the streets and people say, hey, weren't you on that TV show?
No, they're not, because
no?
We only had Tough Enough on YouTube in Canada. We didn't have it on TV.
Oh, geez.
I know. So I was recognized
Bummer.
A lot in Florida, of course, when I was down there. But no, you know what? People don't have a freaking clue who I am in Canada, and I don't mind it. I quite like it that way.
Well, I'm sure you turn heads just based on your looks. I'm sure. So. The WWE Network, I believe, is what, available on Rogers Cable up there in Canada?
Yeah.
Did you watch that? Do you have that?
I don't have it because I just moved to Calgary, but we had it at home in Victoria, yeah.
Yeah, what do you kind of think of that? I mean, do you get a chance to watch some of the old matches, the old pay-per-views and things like that?
Oh, yeah, I love it. I love that there is just like a one-stop shop for wrestling now. It's amazing.
How about products outside of WWE? Obviously, your goal is WWE, but I don't know if you get access to watch like Ring of Honor, TNA, some of the other wrestling shows.
Yeah.
Fan of those? Even New Japan Pro Wrestling's out there?
I don't watch as much New Japan, but I definitely watch TNA and Ring of Honor. And any company that would be happy to have me, I would be happy to work for. I just want to make this, my job. And right now, I have to have a job to support my wrestling career. So I just want to be able to support myself from wrestling. That's my end goal.
What do your friends and family think of that? They think you're kind of crazy just to say, oh my gosh, you just want to make a living in wrestling? I mean, are they encouraging you to maybe do other things? Or?
Oh, they think I'm absolutely nuts, but it's gotten to the point where I told them I was going to be a wrestler, and within 6 months, I was on Monday Night Raw. So how can you deny that I'm going to be a wrestler, you know?
Well, I thought, people could even identify, say, weren't you that Megan Miller on WWE Raw? Because I know people in Canada watch Raw.
Oh, yeah.
I know
that. They definitely know who Megan Miller is, that's for sure.
Now, I believe you you entered college before you got into professional wrestling. What did you study? And if wrestling doesn't work out for you, what are some of the other possible options you have out there?
I went to school and was doing kinesiology and health sciences. I've always wanted to be a personal trainer, so I got my personal training certification. But at this point, there really is no backup. I just want to go 110% forward on wrestling. And then when the time comes, if, maybe wrestling isn't 100% for me, then I do have the fallback of kind of personal training and things like that. But I want to always stay in this fitness industry because that's just who I am.
I kind of wonder, too, when you walked away from Tough Enough, were they giving you words of encouragement? Did they ever say anything about, maybe we'll call you for a tryout sometime, possibly a developmental deal somewhere down the line? Because sometimes they've taken people who didn't win the competitions and, given them other deals. Did they say anything like that, when you walked away from the show?
I got a lot of positive, encouragement and reinforcement from Lita and Natalia and a lot of the divas. But when it comes down to it, it's the head office that chooses, and they haven't said anything to me. So I would assume that they would probably be signing people about now.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah, so. You think so. So we'll see.
Who is your favorite diva today?
Well, it's tough because now that all the NXT girls came up, they're amazing. Like Sasha Banks, Charlotte, and Becky, they're absolutely amazing. But I just love the Bella Twins. I've loved them since the beginning. And I love to see that they're actually expanding and kind of growing their wrestling repertoire when the new girls came up. You know, if you've noticed, like, they've really improved since the NXT girls came up. They have totally stepped their game up.
I don't know if you've seen this match. I don't, because you don't have the network currently, but when you get the network, or if you've not seen it, Sasha Banks versus Bayley on that last NXT special was incredible.
Yes. So. Yes, amazing.
That's a match that probably would inspire other women to say, can we do a match like that? I mean, that was just...
Oh, my gosh, I know. And I love Bayley. She's so hardworking.
Now, obviously, with you being on indie circuit, who are some of the girls you've not current, you know, haven't already worked with that you kind of look forward to saying, oh, I'd love to work with her somewhere down the line?
I really want to work with Cherry Bomb. I really, really want to work with Mandy Leon and Tessa Blanchard because the three of us had a tryout together down at the Performance Center, and I would just love, love, love to work with them. But definitely Cherry Bomb. I hear amazing things about her. We kind of keep in contact on social media, so it's kind of cool to watch some of her matches, and I think I could really learn a lot from her.
Yeah, Tessa Blanchard, in case people don't realize, she's the daughter of Tully Blanchard and would be the granddaughter of Joe Blanchard. So
yeah.
She's got quite the credentials there, being third-generation wrestler. And we've seen, like,
sure
Natalia.
Yeah,
so. Yeah, definitely. What was your reaction? Obviously, Hogan was on the show, and then all this racial controversy broke out about Hulk Hogan. What was your reaction? Did that take you by surprise when all that was breaking?
Yeah, it took me by surprise, but to be honest, I was so focused on the competition that there's nothing that could take my mind off of, you know, winning. So
right.
it was just a lot of, you know, controversy on social media, but I tried to stay out of it.
Good. That's the way to approach it, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, so far in your career, you know, outside of the Tough Enough experience, what's been some of your favorite matches or your career highlight thus far?
I had a really amazing match that I just loved. It was a triple threat match. Me versus Casey Spinelli versus Rhea Von Slasher in Victoria. And it was my favorite, not only because that's my hometown, so I had a lot of fans, but just working with Casey and Rhea was so much fun. I had such a good time, and the crowd was so much fun. That's something I'll definitely never forget. And then I had a match at the Commodore Ballroom in Vancouver, and there was probably over 1,000 fans there. That was the biggest show that I had done to date, and that was amazing. Just having that many people and that many eyes on you was something I hadn't experienced yet, so I won't forget that either.
Cool. I'll put you on the spot. Where do you see yourself in 5 years from today?
I see myself making it onto the main roster of WWE and hopefully, you know, building a solid foundation for the rest of my life.
Well, I hope that does work out for you. As I said, obviously, we've been following you from your days with Lance Storm training, and now you're back with Lance, and we saw you on Tough Enough, and I'm, like I said, I don't think I'm alone in representing the opinion that we wished you would have won that competition, but sometimes there's stumbling blocks along the way, and if you take away the positive attitudes that you surely have, and you're just a very upbeat, positive person, which I think is tremendous.
Thank you.
I think that will benefit you, you know, in the years to come. As long as you stay positive and upbeat, and I'm going to do this, I know I'm going to get there. WWE is going to, you know, someday I'm going to be on Raw every week.
Exactly.
You'll get there.
Exactly. They can't deny me, you know. I'm just going to keep trying.
Very cool. Now, as we wrap with you, you got some shows coming up that you can let the fans know where they can check you out. And also, go ahead and plug your social media.
Yeah, so just to kind of stay in touch with everything I'm doing, you can follow me on Twitter, @ToughChelseaG. You can follow me on Instagram, Chelsea A. Green, or you can follow my fan page on Facebook, Chelsea Green. And I post everything on there, you know, all sorts of stuff, from my workouts to my meal plans to the crazy things I do on the weekend to all of my matches and dates and places of where I'm going to be. So, you know, just make sure you like my fan page on Facebook.
And definitely do it and get on her social media and encourage her to do a calendar. Because I was just telling her before we started doing this interview, based on the pictures I've seen of you, that you could definitely do a great fitness calendar that we want. We want a Chelsea Green calendar for the next year, so definitely encourage her to do a calendar.
If I get enough encouragement for a calendar, I will definitely make one for 2016. How about that?
And I want an autographed one. I want the first one. So.
You came up with the idea, so I have to.
All right, very good. Well, we wish you nothing but the best of success, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much. Have a good one.
Hey, what's up out there? I'm Frank D. of the GRP and Gurick.net. Letting you know right now that ProWrestlingTees.com/Gurick is the official merchandise store of the GRP and Gurick.net. 7 great designs, $19.99 plus shipping and handling will get you one of our great shirts. We have a Raw style, Nitro style, NWO style, and the official Gurick.net t-shirt. Also, 3 new designs that we just recently added is up there as well. We have the Gurick.net 1997 shirt. We also have I'm a Gurick.net guy and I'm a Gurick.net girl. So don't delay. Check out ProWrestlingTees.com/Gurick today. They ship internationally. They ship domestically. PayPal, credit, debit, doesn't matter. They got you covered. Check it out today. ProWrestlingTees.com/Gurick. And for the latest pro wrestling news, keep it locked to www.gerweck.net. Gurick.net. Your source for wrestling news since 1997.
If you enjoyed today's Gurick Report podcast, we encourage you to go to Gurick.net at www.gerweck.net, your source on the World Wide Web for all your pro wrestling news since 1997. You can also find all the archives of previous editions of the Gurick Report podcast there. Additionally, check out our Facebook discussion group. We're on Twitter at Gurick Report. You can follow us on YouTube, our YouTube channel at Gurick Report on YouTube. Find us on Stitcher, on TuneIn. Check us out on Instagram. We appreciate your support here at Gurick.net and the Gurick Report podcast. Again, check out all your wrestling news at Gurick.net and stay tuned for the next edition of the Gurick Report podcast.